Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A listener note, this podcast contains strong language and disturbing content.
So roughly over there where that kind of big tree trunk marks the spot, he would have seen it, looked for it, known where to stop.
I've come back to Much Markle, the village in the southwest of England where Fred West grew up.
And that's finger post field, this is letterbox field.
25 years ago in the fields outside the village, there was a grim discovery.
So she was the first victim but the last to be found.
This is the place where Fred West buried his first known murder victim.
The smell of a decomposing flesh obviously would attract animals, scavengers. So he buried them deep.
It's here that Fred started on the path to becoming a serial killer.
He was a farm worker, then he was a builder. And if someone saw Fred digging a hole, they wouldn't be surprised, because he'd been here for 20 years digging holes.
To understand how this woman came to be buried in Finger Post Field, we need to go back a few years to another part of Fred West's story. It concerns his first marriage, because Rose was not Fred's first wife. The name of his first wife was Rena. By 1994, when Fred was arrested, no one had seen her for over 20 years. This early relationship helps us to understand how Fred West first became a killer. From Something Else, this is Unheard, the Fred and Rose West tapes. Episode 3, Finger Post Field. I'm Howard Soons, author of the book Fred and Rose. In November 1962, Fred West and Rena Costello married at Lebri Register Office. Fred had recently turned 21. Rena was 18. The wedding picture shows her wearing a blue dress. Her hair was so blonde it was almost white. Fred's dark suit looks too big for him.
She's originally a Scottish lass, isn't she, you know?
Christine West, Fred's sister-in-law, knew Rena. Her full name was Catherine Costello. She'd been living in Glasgow, but had come down south to start a new life.
Oh, she could have met him at the dance, because there was always like one in the local village here, Much Markle, or she could have met him at the local youth club.
The only guest at the wedding was Fred's brother John, who was the witness. Not even his parents, Walter and Daisy, were there. The news came to them as a surprise.
But you didn't tell them that they were getting married.
Right. Do you know if he left home before he married Rena or after he married Rena?
After. About a week after, they both went up to Scotland.
The newly married couple went to live in Glasgow initially. It's there that Fred's life took a significant turn. By the time he came back to England 2 years later, he was a father with a complicated personal life that culminated in his first known murder. So in June 1995, I followed Fred's trail to Glasgow. In 1995, Glasgow was a very different place to the city Fred knew in the 1960s. Many of the old buildings had been torn down to make way for new flats. So I bought a map and tried to orientate myself with the city Fred and Rena must have known. I had some leads on the south side, where Fred and Rena had lived in a series of old tenement apartments. The first door I knocked on belonged to a man called Archie Jackson. He'd been a neighbour of Fred and Rena. The tape isn't very clear, so I'll paraphrase.
A good neighbour, yeah. Never gave us any kind of bother.
She never gave them any trouble.
What about him? Did you know anything about him?
I never seen him.
Never saw him at all?
First time I seen him, his photograph was on the
wall.
He never saw Fred.
Yeah, no, we never seen him at the house at all.
Where was Fred? They'd only just got married. But there was something else I wanted to check with Archie.
You didn't know anything or suspect anything about her being a prostitute?
Rena's name came up in the records of Glasgow Police. Before she'd married Fred, she'd been warned for prostitution.
She had been asked out by the police and everything.
They told you that she was, did they?
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe she was probably doing it at this time, but...
Yeah, well, that's what they say.
Archie said he didn't know she was a prostitute.
Well, we seen her going out right enough at night. So we thought it was just a young girl going out. You know, she needed time off. She had two kids.
Mm-hmm. When he saw her leave at night, he thought she was just a young girl going out.
Maybe I was very gullible. I don't know, but...
Well, you probably wouldn't know. No reason you wouldn't know. Unless it become the talk of the street. I presume she kept it discreet.
What was the nature of Fred's and Rena's relationship? And if Fred wasn't with Rena, where was he? There was someone on my list of contacts who might be able to help. His name was John McLaughlin. He'd been having an affair with Rena while she was living with Fred in Glasgow. When I went to meet John in his flat, it was a blazing hot summer morning. He had his shirt off and his body was covered in tattoos. There on his arm was a familiar name in scratchy blue letters. Rena.
Mr. McLaughlin. John.
John said he made the tattoo of Rena himself with a sewing needle.
Rena had mine on her arm, John.
That's right.
She had
us
on my arm as well.
Archie and Fred.
Rena had already tattooed Fred's name on her arm.
Yeah. I thought it was called Fred. I bought it and I spoke to John on it.
You
tattooed it out? Yeah. So John put a line through Fred's and replaced it with his.
And I done mine.
So what did Fred say when your name appeared on his wife's arm? It was on her arm, wasn't it?
Yeah, on her arm. Same,
obviously. What did Fred think when that happened?
Fred wasn't impressed. It sounded as if Fred's marriage to Rena was off to a rocky start. Well, they were young, but there was another complication. When she married Fred, Rena was 6 months pregnant. Her daughter Charmaine was born in March 1963, but Fred wasn't the father.
Did you know the father of Charmaine?
Rena told John that Charmaine's father was a South Asian man.
She's a beautiful girl, and she's here. I don't know where we are. Pakistan and Iran,
where it was. Who said that?
Baby Charmaine was Rena's daughter, but not Fred's. The father was probably a Glasgow bus driver. Rena might have met him while working as a conductor, but I never found him. How did Fred react to the new arrival?
She was with Fred when she had Charmaine.
Yeah.
So he
took her on?
Yeah.
Fred stuck with Rena, even when it was clear that Charmaine wasn't his.
That's unusual, isn't it? He was with her when she had the child. He met her before she had the child.
It's not obvious. Look at him. Look at her. and look at the baby in the cot then, and that was the last photo I've seen her. I never knew she had another kid.
Charmaine was a dark-skinned child of mixed race. It was obvious that she wasn't Fred's.
Discussed.
When I asked Christine West how much Fred's family knew about this, the story got even more complicated.
You know, it was sort of swept under the carpet, as to say. It was one of them, you know, nobody said nothing like sort of thing. Everybody...
Right.
She was pregnant when they got married and when they went to Scotland.
Mm.
And then they wrote and said she'd lost the baby. And then they said they adopted this child.
But Rena didn't lose the baby, and Charmaine wasn't adopted. It was to cover up the fact that Charmaine wasn't Fred's child. A year later, in 1964, Rena became pregnant again. This time, Fred was the father. They named their new baby Anna Marie. But whatever happiness there was didn't last. One night, John McLaughlin was with Rena at the tenement block.
We were playing cards there. He looked in the window.
They were playing cards when they saw Fred's face at the window.
And he chatted my mate's door, and he said, right, to Rena, out.
He ordered Rena outside and started beating her.
And he took her upstairs and he fucking kicked his shit out all the way up his door. I said, don't ever let me see you date like a woman again.
John defended her, hitting Fred.
But he really fucking kicked the shit out of me. She bruises everywhere.
Was she scared of him?
Oh, yeah.
She had bruises everywhere. Fred took his beating. John's relationship with Rena was clearly a threat to Fred. Not long after, Fred chose to leave Glasgow. But there was another story why Fred came back to Gloucestershire. Christine West, Fred's sister-in-law, told me about it. In Glasgow, he'd been working as an ice cream man, driving a van around the street selling Mr. Whippy-type ice cream.
Little boy ran out into the street.
What happened to the boy?
He died.
Really?
Yeah.
When did you find out?
Oh, well...
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
So you killed him?
Hmm?
And what happened? Was Fred arrested?
No, because the police said it was an accident. I mean, he was only five.
What did Fred say about that?
I mean, he was upset about it.
Don't know what the boy was called, do you?
No idea.
Was it true that Fred had run over and killed a child in Glasgow? There were so many dramatic stories in his life. I asked Glasgow police, but they couldn't confirm it. I searched through the cuttings at the Daily Record office in Glasgow for children run over in the city by ice cream vans in the 1960s. There were a few leads, but I couldn't confirm any link to Fred.
This is McClellan Street, right? Down there, right?
Yeah.
John McLaughlin had another alarming story about Fred's time in Glasgow.
Over here, or just a bit there, there used to be a bridge there, right? There used to be a set of plots.
In his spare time, Fred kept a garden allotment.
What was Fred's plot like? What did he grow in it?
Fred hardly grew anything.
He grew hardly anything.
John would say to Fred, how the hell do you grow anything?
Oh,
he raked a bit and planted a few vegetables, but it was mostly unused ground. Fred said, I'm keeping it for something else.
So he's keeping it for something else? So he had an allotment.
Yeah.
He had lots of room to grow vegetables.
Yeah.
But he didn't grow any vegetables.
He usually got better at night. My fucking career is getting up at fucking 2 o'clock in the morning. When he found out everything was all going, you know.
He went there in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning. What was Fred doing on his allotment in the middle of the night, the allotment where he hardly grew anything? At least four young women disappeared from Glasgow at the time Fred lived in the city. We can only wonder whether Fred was connected. Later, the allotment was bulldozed when the area was redeveloped. Fred's plot was engulfed in thousands of tons of concrete, forming junction 22 of the M8 motorway. 13 lanes of traffic now sweep back and forth over the patch of earth that Fred was keeping for something else. Whatever happened on his allotment, now Fred West was back in Gloucestershire, close to Fingerpost Field.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's 1965. Fred West may or may not have killed a boy in Glasgow, and he may have felt threatened by John McLaughlin, his wife Rena's new lover. What we do know is that he felt he had to leave Scotland in a hurry. The next woman I called would tell me what happened after that.
Hello?
Hello, hello, Isa. How are you?
Fine.
Do you remember me? I'm Howard Soons. I'm an author. I'm writing a book about the case. Do you remember we spoke before?
Isa McNeil was friends with Rena. They met in a Glasgow cafe when Isa was looking for work. Rena and Fred, with their on-off relationship, were searching for someone to look after their two young children. Isa was offered bed and board in their home if she would care for Charmaine and the baby, Anna Marie. She agreed. Soon afterwards, Isa told me that Fred moved back to Gloucestershire by himself. He made a living driving a van for an abattoir. He collected carcasses of animals from local farms. A few months passed, and then in Glasgow, Rena made Isa another offer. Would she like to move down to England with her and the children to live with Fred in a caravan?
Now, the thing that I'm really confused about is when you all went south to live in the caravan,
uh-huh.
And you all came down on the bus.
Uh-huh.
So
he
got you from the station?
He picked us up at the station in the, what do you call that van? It's full of bones and cow hides and all that in it.
Fred picked them up at the bus station in his abattoir lorry, which was full of bones and cow hides. It smelt bad.
Like an open lorry. You know, like the sides that came down.
Like an open lorry?
Came down, And it was a big blue tub that was in, not at the back yet.
And it smelt, did it?
Well,
bad.
Really bad.
Yeah, right. But you all came together?
Uh-huh.
You and Anna
and Rena. And the kids.
And the two children?
Uh-huh.
Anna and Charmaine.
Charmaine.
Right. Okay.
There was another passenger who came south with Rena and Isa and the kids. Her name was Anna McFall. Anna McFaul was 16. Isa was her childhood friend. They grew up together in the same street in Glasgow. Anna's family life was complicated. Her parents were unmarried. Her brother, Scarface McFaul, was known to the police, while her boyfriend had recently been killed in an accident. But Anna had a good friend in Isa.
They say that you were friends despite Anna apparently was a Catholic and you were a Protestant.
Uh-huh.
Is that right?
Uh-huh.
And years gone back in Glasgow, that sometimes was a problem, wasn't it?
Uh-huh.
But you were friends
uh-huh.
anyway.
Uh-huh.
And you apparently both worked together at Livingston Industrial Clothing.
But both of them wanted to get away from Glasgow. That's when Isa introduced Anna to Fred and Rena, and the plan took shape.
When you and Anna and Rena came down to the caravan,
uh-huh.
what for? Why did you come down?
Because I was staying with Rena in Kinnan Park at the time.
Right?
And Anne didn't go in with her brother or anything, so she came down to look for work.
Anna didn't get on with her brother, so she decided to come to England to find work.
But why did you come down?
I came down to Rena to get a job and all that because I didn't go in with my parents either.
These were three vulnerable young women. Anna McFaul, just 16, was estranged from her family. Rena, in an abusive marriage with Fred and the young mother of two children. And Isa, their friend, who had her own problems. It's a poignant image. Three girls leaving Glasgow with hopes of a better life down south, only to find themselves with Fred West in his filthy abattoir van, being driven to his caravan.
When you arrived at the caravan, you were in the middle of the countryside, weren't you? There was nothing to do, was there?
No, there was nothing there. I used to just babysit for the folk beside.
There was nothing to do on the caravan site except watch the kids.
What do you do all day?
Just sat about in the caravan.
Must have got fed up.
Uh-huh.
Yeah?
As you say, there was nothing there. It was away in the open somewhere.
Because you're miles away from any towns.
Uh-huh. Right.
And you're all city people, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
So it must have been a bit of a shock.
No, it was that.
The plan was to find work, but you didn't find any work.
We never worked. I just watched rain in the caravan site.
The caravan in the country between Gloucester and Muchmarkle was claustrophobic for four adults and two children. Fred and Rena shared the main bedroom. The children slept together in a tiny room. Anna and Isa had to share the couch. Before Fred left for work every morning, he'd warn Rena not to venture off the site. While Fred was at work, these three women whiled away the hours chatting and flicking through magazines. When Fred returned in the evening, he was still wearing his overalls and boots from the abattoir. His hands were scarlet and there was blood on his face where he'd wiped his brow. And he'd beat Rena if his dinner wasn't ready. One day the women decided they'd had enough. They wanted to get out. And they enlisted an old friend from Glasgow.
John McLaughlin sent a letter to us down in the caravan, and we're to be at the phone box at a certain time.
John McLaughlin wrote to the women and told them to meet him at a phone box near the caravan side.
How did John know that she wanted to go?
Because we told him on the phone. He phoned us up.
He was going to drive down and get them. They should be ready.
To be at the phone at a certain time, to be ready.
A plan was hatched. With Fred's behaviour becoming increasingly violent, they'd escape when he was at work. John would drive down from Glasgow overnight, collect Rena, Anna, Isa and the two children in the morning and take them back to Scotland. They'd be home for bedtime. Fred would return from work to find they were gone. That was the plan, anyway. They went for a walk around the caravan site with the children.
And we've seen the van parked beside the lane.
Then they saw John McLaughlin's Mini.
Just after that, Fred came in and caught us. He
That's when Fred caught them. The women had packed their suitcases and were ready to flee the campsite when Fred appeared unexpectedly.
He used to come back daily, you know, but not at that time. He always had his set time for coming back, you know what I mean?
Right.
Fred had always come home from work at the same time, but today he was early. He seemed to have caught wind of their plot.
And John punched him outside the caravan.
There was a fight, there was a scuffle between.
And the neighbours came out.
There was a showdown between Fred and John McLaughlin.
They never even get into the caravan, McLaughlin.
He didn't?
No, it was outside.
John was trying to get into the caravan to get Charmaine.
But Fred wouldn't give Charmaine?
No, he wouldn't give you Charmaine.
Right.
But Fred refused to give her up.
That's what he said. If she ever came back again, he would kill her. Kill you. He said, if you ever show your face again.
Fred threatened Rena. I'll kill you if you show your face again.
He said that to who?
Said that to Rena.
I'll kill you if you ever show your face again?
Uh-huh. And that's, she had to leave. Obviously, Fred, she had to leave Charmaine with
them. Rena had to leave Charmaine with Fred.
And that's when Rena came to get back on Glasgow.
I called John McLaughlin in Glasgow to check his side of the story.
I managed to get Rena and Isa in the car.
And it all went wrong.
He got Rena and Isa in the car, but when Fred came home, the plan all went wrong.
And then he was in there already?
Yep.
He was inside the caravan already?
And he was holding Charmaine.
Crying and shaking, Rena and Isa drove off with John in the car. The children were left behind in the caravan with Fred, and so was Anna McFall.
She wanted to come with us. You know, we wanted to bring her home as well.
They wanted Anna to come with them, but she refused.
Because she had told him?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
So it looks like she grasped you up?
Yeah, yeah, quite possible.
And did Anna admit that she told him, or you just worked that out?
She wouldn't come.
The Great Escape was only a partial success. Rena and Isa got out, but worryingly, the children were still with Fred in the caravan.
Do you remember if Rena said anything to you about her fears about leaving the kids behind with Fred?
No, it all happened that quick.
Yeah.
And then once we got up, she did want to go back and get because she didn't trust him with Fred. She wanted him back. She said, not so much Anne-Marie, because Anne-Marie was just a baby.
Rena wanted her children back. She didn't trust Fred with them.
He didn't have much time for her, I mean.
He didn't have much time for her, no.
She was most concerned about Charmaine, whom Fred didn't like.
And it was mostly Charmaine she wanted.
Right, because she was more concerned about her.
Meanwhile, Anna stayed in the caravan with Fred and the two children. In Fred's exaggerated way of talking, Anna became nanny to his kids, and they became lovers. Anna sent letters back to her family in Glasgow.
She had a fancy house. She was doing well and she was getting married and the rest of it.
This is a house with a thatched roof, is that right?
Uh-huh.
Anna said she was getting married to Fred, living in a nice big house.
But she was
as far as I was concerned, she was still in the caravan with him.
It was all make-believe. By the spring of 1967, Anna was pregnant with Fred's child. Fred later said that Anna was the love of his life and called her his angel. But Fred was full of such fanciful nonsense. I asked Christine West, Fred's sister-in-law, did the family get to know Anna as Fred's girlfriend?
He used to come out to bring her out with Anne-Marie and Charmaine, because she was supposed to be their nanny. All together, four of them together, used to come out to Morecourt.
Fred's parents were still living at Morecourt Cottage in Muchmarkle.
And Rena wasn't around, was she?
No, not then, no.
Right. And what was she like, do you know?
Well, you know, it was quite a shock, like, when they found her, like...
Anna was last seen alive in 1967. Her dismembered body was found in Fingerpost Field, Muchmarkle, within sight of Morecourt Cottage, in June 1994. Her remains showed that she was 7 months pregnant when she was murdered. She'd been dead for 27 years. But nobody had reported her as a missing person. And so, like so many of the girls in this story, she comes from this very difficult background, and maybe the little bit of affection and attention Fred showed her was enough to bind her to him until he killed her. He never admitted to murdering Anna. He just said, rather cryptically, "I know where she is. And I'll show you where she is, but I didn't kill her." And sure enough, he pointed out her grave over in the field, and that's where she was found. Maybe he killed her because, of course, there was Rena as well. So maybe she was a problem. She was pregnant, but he was married to Rena. So maybe he felt he had to get out of that situation. I mean, maybe questions were asked, but evidently no one took action. No one actually went to the police and said, "Where is my missing pregnant daughter?" I had one last question for Christine West.
How did Fred explain that Anna was no longer there?
He didn't.
No. Did anyone ask?
No, nobody asked.
Nobody asked?
No.
She just...
Well, you sort of assumed that she'd gone back home.
Right.
To Scotland.
Okay.
I mean, nobody asked.
Next time on Unheard, the Fred and Rose West tapes, Fred meets Rose. Unheard, the Fred and Rose West tapes, was written and presented by Howard Soons. The producer was Paul Smith. The executive producer was Russell Finch. The mix engineer was Josh Gibbs. The title music was composed by Shani Aviram, with additional production from Steve Ackerman, Antonia Udunlami, Ben Madeley, and Alice Lutchins. Unheard, the Fred and Rose West tapes, is a Something Else production.
Also from Something Else.
How did we get here? With Claudia Winkleman and Professor Tanya Byron. In these in-depth, one-on-one therapy sessions, we dig deep into personal stories with fascinating and emotional revelations. A passionate, insightful, and moving experience with clear outcomes to each episode.
He is as anxious about attachment with you as you are with him.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. That's crazy, isn't it? Oh, that's a weird feeling. Wait, so... God, John, you just feel like, whoa, why didn't I know that all along?
Listen now in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all good podcast apps.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.